Welcome to She Knows, hosted by Brandon Burns, another show from Torched Productions. This is the show where we tell the stories of amazing women doing amazing things. We share stories of adversity, success, leading as a woman, overcoming challenges with gender, stereotypes, and role models for women all over the world. Tune in to walk away with at least one key insight every episode that will help you on your journey. Let's get down to the show, and if you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and review us on all your favorite platforms and visit us at gettorched.com. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of She Knows with your host, Brandon Burns. Super excited for today's guest. She's based in lockdown Sydney. I'm here in lockdown Melbourne, but we won't talk about that. She's a founder. She's an entrepreneur. And personally, I think she's a bit of a visionary in her space. She is the founder at Edible Bug Shop at Sky Blackburn. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. And you were telling me off air that I'm very high energy today. So I'm loving the compliments. This is great.
You are, but I'm more of a morning person. So I'm very high energy in the morning. And it's getting a bit late for me because I go to bed very, very early.
Wow. Now, I have to ask, has that got anything to do with circadian rhythms or, you know, the sleeping patterns of bugs?
Oh, it does, because I will wake up very early, so normally about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, so that I can go over to the farm and make sure that all of our insects are okay.
Wow, this is amazing. We're stumbling across something now. So literally what time will you hit the sack and go to bed?
Normally about 7 o'clock when the kids go to bed. I'm not far behind them, so.
Wow. Is there any time for a bit of Netflix and chill?
No, never.
No. In short, no. But if you had to outline your favourite movie, is it Bugs Life or Ants?
Yeah, one of those ones would definitely be right up there. I've watched Bugs Life, I can say at least 15 times confidently. The kids really like it as well, so generally I'll come in at different parts that I like. I also like Timon and Pumbaa off The Lion King because they're really big advocates for bug eating.
Oh, this is fantastic. I love it. So, well, while we're on that point, I want you to tell me, because it sounds like it's quite unique, what does a typical day in the life of Sky Blackburn look like?
Well, actually, I don't really have a typical day because the things that we do are just so diverse. So it might involve going to the farm and making sure all of the edible insects are okay on the farming side of things. If I've got that job for the day, then there's a lot of like cleaning involved and feeding and blending and things like that if we're feeding them. On other days, I might be doing product development. So that's developing brand new products to go onto the retail shelf or retail products for other food brands as well. I've spent the last 3 weeks doing education. So a huge part of what we do is educating students and consumers about the fantastic benefits of edible insects as a sustainable source of food, but not only that, about the future of food and kind of what that looks like. So we have this amazing future food program that we run into schools. Or even doing podcasts like this or talking to the media or doing special events as well. So I love my job because it is just so diverse and no 2 days are the same. And because we're in lockdown at the moment, a lot of my time is actually spent doing homeschool too. So that's the new thing that I can kind of claim. Yeah.
This is a jam-packed day, and the fact that you're able to get yourself off to sleep relatively early, I take my hat off to you. I have to ask, this is a huge endeavor you've been undertaking with Edible Bug Shop for quite some time. From the perspective of being the founder and the entrepreneur and the real face of the business, give me an insight for other women listening in similar scenarios of the support network that you've got and you put around yourself that enables you to perform at such a high level.
Oh, well, definitely having family around us is really, really helpful. My husband is very supportive. He has his own business as well. So that actually means that we both kind of have flexibility. So when someone needs to be home with the kids, then the other person can kind of schedule to be out, and then vice versa. And my husband goes to bed at like 7 o'clock as well. So we're kind of in that together as well, because he wakes up early for his business. But just having that support network, especially when you've got small children, to be able to, count on the grandparents or uncles and aunties and things like that to kind of pick up the kids or, look after them for a couple of hours when you're really busy. And my children are very well behaved, so I actually take them to work with me quite a lot. So if we're doing especially education kind of things or events, then they'll definitely come along. And because they've grown up in this business, I've had the business longer than I've had children, they're actually our best advocates. So they know exactly what I'm going to say to adults, and they'll actually repeat it. So they're very, very good salespeople, I feel.
I have to ask, where does your background lie that led you to starting on this journey? Because obviously it appears to be a niche area, but I'm waiting for you to tell me that it's actually a huge growing space. But, what's the background that led you to jumping in head first?
Well, ever since I was a little kid, I was always into bugs. Like, I was that weird kid at school that had little jars with praying mantises and stick insects and things on their desk. When I was in year six, I would run peer support for the kindergarten kids, and we would go out into the schoolyard and go and collect bugs, and I would give out lollies for the best bugs that people could collect and stuff like that. So when I went to university, of course, I wanted to study entomology, but when I started my degree, I quickly learned that there's not really a lot of jobs and a lot of versatility in jobs in entomology in Australia. So I actually did a degree in food science at the same time. And that's just solely because there was a shortage of food scientists, and I knew that I could get a job doing food science. But that kind of accidentally gave me the perfect combination of skills to do this. So I didn't start off my business farming edible insects or even thinking about edible insects. When I started my business, it was actually, and still is, an education company. So we would go around to schools and teach children all about mini bees, about their importance in our environment, all different kinds of science things as well, and do lots of science experiments and things. We're actually at like a pet and animal expo, and I was trying to think of something unique and kind of gimmicky to draw people over to our stand, because generally pet and animal expos aren't all about spiders and scorpions and tarantulas. They're all about cats and dogs. So we had just come back from Thailand, and we tried edible insects there. So I called my little brother, who was about 15 at the time, and said, look, do you want to come over and make some lollipops with real bugs in them? And he was like, sure, let's do that. So we made about 1,000 of these lollipops with crickets and mealworms and little scorpions and like ants on the inside. And at this event, we actually sold out of them within a couple of hours, which was amazing. Wow. And the weeks afterwards, I was getting calls from marketing companies, from the newspaper, from lolly shops, who all wanted to stock these insect lollipops. Because I was a food scientist, I wanted to have correct retail labeling on the lollipops. So I actually sent away some crickets and mealworms for nutritional testing in a laboratory so that everything was meeting the regulations. And when I got the results back, I was so shocked that no one was eating them as a source of food. They were just so nutrient dense. They had everything that your body could possibly need in this tiny little package. So it was kind of at that point that I felt, I have the perfect combination of skills to pull this off and to convince people that this is a good idea. So that was about 14 years ago now. And we've just kind of been trying to educate consumers for that whole time. We've grown with the market. So when we first started, our products were very novel. So things like chocolate-coated bugs or the lollipops and things like that, because the market really wasn't ready for the kinds of products that we have now. But we stopped making those probably about 7 or 8 years ago now, it's just to focus on a kind of more healthy, nutritional kind of food products. And and it's worked out really well. So kind of being small and nimble, having the flexibility to change our products with the market and to grow with the market has been really, really beneficial for our company.
What's the most amazing thing that people just don't realize about introducing bugs into their diet, and how do you navigate around a vegan?
So there's so many amazing things about edible insects and insect protein, but what people don't realize is that you don't have to be eating a huge scorpion or a tarantula to be eating an insect. What we actually do is we make familiar foods that you would eat all the time anyway. So things like pasta, yogurt, ice cream, corn chips, things like that. And we just enrich it with invisible insect protein. So you wouldn't even know that it's there. So it's just the foods that you love. It tastes exactly how you would expect it to taste, if not a little bit better, but it's a lot better for your body and it's better for the planet. So it's something that's actually really, really easy to do.
Wow. I love that. I need to get it in my life. So Skye, I'm going to ask you now, because everyone's going to be Googling or they're listening, where do they go to like get it in their mouth ASAP?
So if you go to our website, so it's circleharvest.com.au, then that will show you the list of stockers, so stores that are stocking it near you, or you can purchase directly through the website as well.
Love it. Awesome. Now, you mentioned before that you're juggling homeschooling, your mother to these amazing kids, your husband's there running his business, so you're supporting him as well. Tell me about your role models when you were growing up, and who are some, you know, amazing women that you looked up to or that you really admired one day wanting to maybe try and emulate?
I feel like my parents were the best parents for me because, you know, if you're a little girl, they kind of expect people to have like little bows in their hair and, you know, be painting their fingernails and things like that. I definitely wasn't that little girl. And my parents kind of embraced that and let me be who I wanted to be. If I wanted to go out and look for worms in the mud in the middle of the rain, then they would let me go and do things like that. And I've kind of adopted that approach with my children as well, because obviously children have very different personalities, and my kids all love doing different kinds of things. So I feel like my parents definitely. I met my husband when I was 18 years old as well, so he's definitely had a really big influence in me growing up as an individual, and has supported me every single step of the way with my business. Even if he didn't think it was a good idea, I would have a sounding board, and some of those ideas definitely weren't good ideas, but then it kind of gives you a different opinion. Just because you think something's a good idea doesn't necessarily mean that it is.
Yeah, I love that. And someone giving you the feedback that actually cares. So it softens the blow sometimes, I'm hoping.
It does. Well, I've yelled at him quite a lot over his opinion, but most of the time he's actually right. But I wouldn't tell him that to his face.
Permission to yell, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Let it out. Tell me, Skye, have there been any instances along the way in the career and the journey where maybe you've directly experienced some, you know, gender-specific challenges, or maybe you've seen others experience them and you've gone, oh, wow, I'd love to, or I have done something about it that you'd love to see change, or just examples that you'd love to talk about for us?
Yeah, well, definitely something that really sticks out in my mind is when I had my first child. So when I had my first child, I was still working for another company and I was doing my business as kind of a side hustle. When I went away to have my baby, the CEO of that company had a close relationship. He came to our wedding and things like that. But he didn't really like the fact that my priorities had changed a little bit. And there was kind of like a lot of bullying incidents that went on to try and force me out of the company, which obviously has happened to so many women, especially in academia as well, and lots of small businesses. They don't feel like women can have a family and have a career. But in my instance, that kind of gave me the push to move forward to full-time in my own business, which is a kind of a blessing in disguise. But, definitely I feel like Within my own company, we really put an emphasis on family. So we give our staff flexible working hours. So if they have children to pick up from school, then they can do that. If they need to work from home some of the days of the week, then they can do that. So I feel like the way that I am as a boss is being reflected, is reflecting kind of how I've been treated as an employee in the past.
How big's the team and how quickly is it growing?
We actually just took on an extra 20 education staff in the past few weeks, keep up with the demand that we're having for our online incursions because everybody's in lockdown. And this week we were so fortunate because we had Science Week, and Science Week this year was all about food, and the topic was food different by design. So obviously we've had thousands and thousands of school students around Australia trying edible insects in the past month or so. In the past 3 weeks, we've actually seen over 3,000 schools, which is more than 300,000 school students. And normally we do that amount in a whole year. So doing that within 3 weeks was a very, very big task for us because a couple of years ago, we actually saw our 1 millionth student come through our education program, which was actually really, really proud of that achievement, because when I go out now, I actually have adults come up to me and say, "Are you that bug lady? When I was 10 years old, you came to my school and taught us all about edible insects and the future of food. And now I order things from your website because I really believe in it." And it's fantastic because when you go to schools and you talk to a 10-year-old child, you don't really know if that's kind of sticking in their head. What you're saying to them makes sense. You know, are they going to remember it when they go home? Are they going to talk about it with other people? But it really shows that, what we do is really making a difference to people's perceptions of food. So now those students are all growing up to be adults that have a better understanding of our food system than their parents did or their grandparents did. And that's something that we're really, really proud of.
Awesome. So you've got kids yourself, you're interacting with children at that primary level as well so much, and you really are making an impact. This is impressive, Sky. I love it. Tell me, what are some of those things that you've seen across the journey that maybe you'd love to change or really make an impact with, because you just know in your heart that it will expedite, whether it's the learning process or just the experience for others, it'll make it so much less friction, less friction and easier and better. Like, what are some of those things if you could really turbocharge changing now that you would?
I feel like availability of products, of more sustainable local food products, not just food products that have edible insects in them, but food products in general that are local. Consumers and shoppers were more educated in that kind of area about the importance of shopping local, of the importance of where your food comes from and even the packaging on the food. People think that, they're just one person. How can one person make a difference? But when everybody is doing the right thing all the time, that adds up to make a really, really big difference. It's not just one packet. It's not just, one shop. It's all millions and millions of shops all combined that add up to make this really huge difference.
Yeah, totally. Excellent. All right, so you're starting a business all over again. You've now got all these learnings and experiences, mistakes, successes. If you had to pick only two things, like key bits of advice that are easy to absorb that you'd give to someone who was doing it for the first time, what would the key ones be?
So the biggest one for me would definitely be flexible with your market. So don't go in and say, this is what I'm doing, this is my product, and I'm never changing anything because it's perfect, because it's never perfect. We've really done that successfully by, monitoring the market all the time and changing the kinds of food products that we're providing based on consumer readiness. So I feel like that's one of the main reasons why we've been so successful, is being able to do that. Hire a salesperson if you can. That's something that I waited a really long time to do, and I've just done it recently, and it's made my life a million times easier. Someone that is dedicated to sales and selling your product and really believes in your product is the best person to have on your team. And even though it might seem expensive to start with, especially if you're only a small business, you can actually negotiate with them terms. You can get them to work, you know, one day a week for you or something like that. But that just takes so much off your plate. And they're the ones that are kind of growing a relationship with kind of new retail customers or wholesale customers and things like that for you. So those would definitely be my top two tips, is the salesperson and being flexible.
That's excellent. I once heard Mark Cuban from Shark Tank in the States say, "Sales cures all." It's a simplistic statement, but you know, things aren't happening for you, go make a sale.
Yep.
So I'm glad that you've delegated that and it's working for you. Give us some of those secrets to success. Now, that's a broad question, so maybe let's talk more around the many hats that you wear. Are there a couple of things that you will always do religiously daily that allow you to always keep on track with being really efficient with your time and getting what you need done out of the day?
Yeah, well, actually have a schedule that I normally adhere to. So I keep all of my appointments in my calendar. I have a virtual assistant that helps me with all those kinds of things as well, to make sure that, you know, if I've got meetings that need to go in, then they're going into the calendar, or the certain days that I need to be a certain place, then she reminds me of those kinds of things. So that kind of frees up my brain space a little bit to be able to focus on like growing the business and things in the business that no one else can actually do. So that's kind of something that's been really, really helpful for me, is having that calendar and kind of sticking to the schedule. But in saying that, being flexible in that schedule is also quite good, because, you know, sometimes things pop up, someone might want an urgent meeting, or there might be, you know, some kind of issue down at the farm or at our food processing facility that I need to drop everything and go there straight away. So kind of having that balance where you do have a schedule to stick to, but having kind of time in there to catch up on things as well. Something that I should do but I really don't is having time for myself in there, because at the moment we're just so busy. But definitely it's something that I'll be looking to do, is to put a little bit of, you know, downtime in there, so that, if there's something that I just want to start doing, like crocheting or something like that, then maybe not that that's on my list, but just as an example, it'd probably be more like going bug collecting out in the bush or something. If I feel like going bug collecting in the bush, then I'm okay with that, because I'm not missing out on doing work.
You mentioned crocheting, and you've kind of skipped forward to one of our questions that we love to ask, which is, what's the secret talent, you know, that hardly anyone knows that you've got? Is it in fact that, you know, crocheting, or is it something else?
No, I just, if I need things crocheted, I just get my grandma to do that. I don't have enough time to sit and do that. Yeah. Grandma, please, can you do this for me? But all of my talents kind of involve either bugs or children. So I can speak to children in a way that they really understand would probably be my kind of secret talent. So it doesn't really matter what it is, especially if it's science-based kind of things. I can really communicate that in a way where a child would relate and understand, and then be able to tell someone else what they've learned, which is the most important thing, because if they're telling someone else what they've learned, they've actually learned it and it's sunk in their head.
So maybe what's a secret talent that's on the list of things you want to tick off learning?
Oh, what do I want to be able to do? I don't know, maybe juggle or something.
Here we go.
That'd be pretty cool. You know what? I just actually thought of one. So my kids got Yoho Diablos for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I've been showing them how to do it, because I used to have one when I was a little kid, and actually I'm pretty good at it. I can do some good tricks.
Just saying.
I could have been a carny in another life, I think.
I love a carny. There we go. I would love to live that life for a short period of time. Yeah. Go on all the rides, then get off.
Get off, yep.
Tell me, what's been the most overwhelming or surprising reaction you've gotten to your product from an unlikely person, and what variation of your product was that? You know, when was this just not expected reaction that you got?
I've had so many positive and so many negative comments. Some of the positive ones that we have, everybody is really, really always positively surprised with our cricket protein corn chips. That's one of our most popular products. It doesn't matter who tries them, they keep going back for more. We actually did an event where there was a big table with all different snacks and kind of things on it. And I asked the organizers if I could actually put a bowl of cricket corn chips on there and not tell anybody. And the room was full of investors and people in agriculture and things like that. So they didn't know what was happening. But so I put the bowl of chips on there, and I had to top that bowl up 42 times before it was my turn to speak. So then when I went up to speak, I actually told everybody, has anybody tried edible insects before? And there was a couple of people, but everybody was like, no. And I said, well, who tried the corn chips that were on the table? And then everyone put their hand up and said, they're really good. And I said, they were made out of cricket protein. And everyone was just so pleasantly surprised. And then afterwards, they went back and tried them again because they knew there was crickets in there, and they were trying to kind of taste if they could taste any difference knowing that there was the crickets in there. So that's kind of one of the highlights of, you know, not tricking, but just, you know, coercing a few hundred people in a room to try cricket protein without even knowing it, and having such a positive response to it as well.
Excellent. I feel like there should be some element of playing cricket at the same time as well. That would
crickets at the cricket, right? We need crickets at the cricket.
There's a campaign in itself. Hey, tell me, if any, what's your biggest fear or fears?
My biggest fear is a little bit of a downer, actually. But it's not really to do with my business. It's more of like the world in general. As we all know, you know, the climate is changing, and we're not doing enough to make sure that we have enough food to feed our future population. And people are doing amazing things in cellular agriculture, regenerative agriculture. People are looking at like algae-based foods and edible insects. And there's all these amazing companies and amazing peoples and researchers that are doing the work in this area. But it's all kind of pointless if consumers and shoppers don't make that switch and don't start to take advantage of those kinds of products as a sustainable source of food. And I've got little kids, and I know by the time that they're adults, there's not going to be enough food to feed them. So that's kind of my biggest fear at the moment, is that the uptake won't be fast enough with these sustainable alternatives for foods, and that my children or my grandchildren won't have enough food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very real one, and it's one that some people are more aware of than others. Well, it sounds like you've got a bit of a solution there, which I'm liking. I want to give you an opportunity to share with the audience how we can not just check you out, but how can we collaborate, how can we get involved, how can we, you know, help you on your real purpose-driven, you know, mission.
So the biggest thing that people can do is actually go out and talk about this, talk about food security, and talk about edible insects and what you guys have learned here today, and go and research it a little bit more. So the communication and the education part of what we do is huge, and having people and advocates go out for our company and for our cause really is the most helpful thing that someone can do. So even if you don't have the opportunity to try these kinds of products or include them in your diet, by going out and talking about it, you're recruiting people to the cause. You're making sure that people are aware of what's going on in our world. And that's one of the best things that you can do to help any small business in any cause.
Awesome. Hit me up again with exactly how we can go and check this out and buy some product right now.
Yeah, so you can actually go online. It's circleharvest.com.au. So that has our list of stockists, and you can purchase directly through the website as well.
Now, Skye Blackburn, is there anything else you'd love to add or shine a light on for our audience? before we wrap this up, because we're out of your precious time. We're going to have to do a part two in person. I promise everyone listening that we're going to have to get her in studio because there's just so much content we can draw out of you. But yeah, what else would you like to shine a light on or really get us to do before we wrap up?
Probably just a few key kind of numbers just to kind of highlight the benefits of eating insects as your source of protein when compared to traditional forms of protein. So, for instance, if you replace just one meat-based meal a week with a meal that uses crickets as your source of protein instead, you actually save over 100,000 litres of drinking water a year. So that's about 4 swimming pools full of water for each person. Yeah, insects actually create heaps less greenhouse gases during their production as well. And we're actually saving food waste. So we circle fruit and vegetable waste from food production processing back into the food system as feed for our insects. So that means that all of that energy is getting put back into our food system and not going to landfill. So it's all good things are coming from eating insects.
This is brilliant. I feel like we should have been eating some on camera today, but maybe we'll save that for in person. Sky Blackburn.
I'll eat some because I've got some.
Oh, look at that. There we go. Sky Blackburn, you told me off air that I was very high energy, but I reckon you've bought it today. You've matched me.
I caught it off you before. That's why.
Well, thanks for being on our brand new show, She Knows, you know, shining a light on amazing women doing amazing things. This clearly is one, guys and girls, so check her out. You'll see the article. You'll see her all across social media. And as soon as we can open up in Melbourne, we are getting her into the studio and can't wait to give you a live demo of exactly how this all works. And thanks for your time, Sky.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of She Knows. If you loved what you heard, then do us a favour and review and subscribe to us on all your favourite platforms. To get in touch, head to gettorched.com and see you on the next episode.